Interest in your prayers. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read several verses, but my thoughts will rest upon verse 8. Begin reading in verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, you know, the word conversation in Scripture is more than just words, isn't it? It's your actions, all right? So let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. That's a good reminder, isn't it? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wonderful verse. Wonderful passage. But if you think about the theme of the book of Hebrews, you find that these brethren were exhorted to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to remain faithful to the New Testament church, not to be drawn back under Judaism, but to continue in the faith and to be faithful to God. Now, we know that there was history records for us that they were under a lot of pressure to go back to those things. But the apostle here tells them to remember Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is just as able tonight to take care of us as he ever has been. And, you know, I can remember many years ago when our children started coming along, and I had the thought of concern about what my children would be facing in the years ahead. And I still do. Yeah. Because it hadn't gotten any better. No. But the same God who watched over me in my ignorance and in all the years that I've lived is the same God who can take care of them and their children, and their children, and their children, till Jesus comes again. He can do that. And so these brethren had every reason to believe that God was able to take care of them, so that they could boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And not only that, but he's the same. It's not like he's one way today and a different way tomorrow, and he said something about a promise one time, but he hasn't kept. No. No, God, when God speaks, he speaks truth. He speaks, and when he makes a promise, he is well able to deliver on his promises. You know, sometimes I think about promises I've made, and as sincere as I may have been, circumstance, some little circumstance could change and caused me not to be able to keep that promise. But not so with God. He's not bound by circumstances. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of power. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. And so he's well able. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he made a promise, you can rest upon it. If he has said something is going to be, it's going to be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? I'm reminded in John chapter 5, verse 39, that Jesus told the Jews, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, I want to take a minute or two. Since we have this verse of Scripture, says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think I've already touched upon the meaning there and the application of that. But just think about some of the ways You know, Jesus said, search the scriptures. And at that time, it had to be the Old Testament scriptures, right? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All right? So Old Testament scriptures testify of him. So when we think about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, think about the various ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is represented in the Old Testament. All right? So we think about Genesis, and we find that as the Word of God, you know, when we look in the scriptures, we find that the Son, as the Word of God, was with God in the beginning. And so when we go back to Genesis and we read, and God said, then that's the Son of God, the Word, speaking to us. As a matter of fact, we know that the Trinity is represented in the Old Testament because it said, let us make man in our own image. And so that word there carries the idea of the plural of majesty. So we find God the Father, the Son as the Word, and the Holy Ghost. All right? So in Genesis, we find the Creator God. Okay? We know that word eventually because of what John, and the Gospel according to John, as it begins, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he's represented there as Creator, the voice of God. All right? Now, he came to this earth in a body. We'll get to that in a moment. Some might say, well, isn't that different from him being the Word? Then he was made. How could he be the same? Okay. So again, let's continue on a little bit and we'll deal with that. In Exodus, we find him represented by the Passover lamb. Okay. Then the angel of God's presence among them. You know that cloud, that pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. All right. That went before them. In Leviticus, you have the law of God. You have all the sacrifices that pointed toward what Christ would do. So in a sense, they're not Christ, but they represent something that he would do or something about him. So all through the Old Testament, search the scriptures, he said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They testify of him. They testify of the work that he would come to do. We see glimpses. We see some aspect of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being represented in various ways in the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers, we find the manna that fell down, the bread that came down from heaven. But he says in John, I'm the true bread. You know, your manna's ate bread in the wilderness and died. He says, you know, I'm the true bread. He that eateth of me shall never die. So as we think about, he was represented by that bread and the water that came forth from the rock. You know, Paul makes mention in Corinthians about the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so we find different ways that we see, like one of the writers says, see through a glass darkly or see through a lattice. We see glimpses. We see different aspects of what our Savior would do and how it represented who he is. Of course, then in the book of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law to those children, to all of those that were under 20 years of age that wandered in the wilderness, they were allowed to go into their inheritance. Okay? So Joshua was... I guess it was just before they went against Jericho, Joshua chapter 5. And he met up with the captain of the Lord's host. And he bowed down to him. Now, John, when he went to bow down to an angel one time, the angel said, "See thou do it not." But nothing was said about him, Joshua, bowing down to this one. And so we get a glimpse there. I'm persuaded that was the Lord. So just many ways that the Old Testament represents. So as we see these various applications and the ways that he's represented to us, how is it that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Well, because his essence, his purpose, his love, his character, all those things that are eternal in nature, all of that is the same. Doesn't matter what you're looking at. His truth is the same. His love is the same. His mercy is the same. His purpose. He came to fulfill the Father's purpose in all that he did. And so it was the truth to start with. It doesn't have to change. It will never change. He cannot change. Okay? That's one of the things the scripture says that he cannot do. You know, speaking of God in Malachi, was it Malachi 3 and 6? I believe it is. "I'm the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." He cannot change. His counsel cannot change. His immutability of his counsel. All those things are the same. They cannot change. But in the way that God chose to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ to us in this time world, obviously he had to go from conception to a child to a babe, you know, and grow into a man to do the work the Father sent him to do. But nothing about his essence, nothing about his power. I'm satisfied that he had just as much power in that manger as he did when he told his disciples, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." And I kind of wonder if he didn't know who Simeon was when Simeon picked him up as a baby. Now, you know, maybe he hadn't developed the ability to talk or anything like that, but, you know, I just believe he had that knowledge, even as a child. At 12 years old, they were amazed at the questions that he was asking and answering. So, he had to come in God's purpose. God's purpose was that he would be made flesh and dwell among us. But his essence, his power, his glory, that was his glory was veiled in human flesh. But bless your hearts, he's the same. The same. All right? So we see those glimpses, but our minds just cannot comprehend all that he is. The depths of his love, his mercy. It just, sometimes you just have to break out in praise and adoration when you try to think about just how much love there is that the Lord manifested to us that he has, because he said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Well, that's tremendous. You know, he loved us so much that the Father loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son suffer and die for us. And Romans 8 says that he that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We can't fathom the depths of his love and all of those kinds of things. But those things that we can get a glimpse of in the Old Testament, those scriptures that Jesus told them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All those glimpses represent some aspect, either his person or his work or how he would come or whatever the case might be, how glorious that is. Now, yesterday, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. What he is, he always has been. That is, as the Word, as the Son of God, what he is, he always has been. I quoted to you from John chapter 1. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So think about that. And then during the holiday season, I'm sure we touched several times on Micah 5, verse 2. He that has been from of old, even from everlasting, the same. Same yesterday. Genesis 22, that passage where the Lord told Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. I just love that passage. I love that chapter. Every time I study that chapter, it just seemed like something else pops out about how it represents our Lord Jesus. I just love every now and then just turn over there and look at it again. Now, I love lots of the Bible, but I mean, that particular chapter just seems like it's so rich in symbolism of our Lord, his purpose, the election of his people. You know, when he said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Well, he had another son at that time. He had Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the child of promise. And even the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:28, he says, now we then, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So when you go back and look at Genesis 22 and you see what Isaac went through and what all happened with him, he represented us. All right? Now the reason I bring that up is because in John chapter 8, Jesus said, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Well, that just set those Jews on their ear, didn't it? And they said, what? In my own words here, what? Well, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen? Before that, they said, well, who makest thyself to be? You know, Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead, and you say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. When they repeated his words, they changed the seed to chaste. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And he was glad. Abraham got a glimpse of Jesus way back there. Way back in that yesterday, in the book of Genesis, when he raised the knife to take Isaac's life, the angel of the Lord says, stay thy hand. And he looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And what he saw, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it was glad. What he saw was a substitute for Isaac to be taken and sacrificed in the stead of Isaac. And that's why Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Amen. They said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen our father Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. What he's always been, of what he is, he's always been. It's the same yesterday. Isn't that comforting? It's so comforting. When we think about our Lord and the way God the Father purposed that he would send his Son, his Word would be made flesh and dwell among us and be the substitute to die in our room instead. Oh, as we rejoice in what our Lord has done. And yet, he said, before Abraham was, I am the eternal I am. What he is, he's always been. Yesterday. Another passage that speaks directly to that issue was after Jesus' resurrection, when he met when he was on the road to Emmaus, and he joined himself up to those two and told them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yes, he was there in those Old Testament scriptures. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They testified of him. And then later, after he went back to Jerusalem and he was there with the 11, he said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. How about today? How about today? Well, remember the conversation we just told you about that Jesus had with those Jews? And about, "If a man keep my sayings." All right, when he came, when the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, he's the I am. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." As he was raised from the dead, we also find, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us when he, go back to chapter 1. He said, "When he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Then chapter 12 speaks about how that he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the same today. He's there at the right hand of the Father right now. So what he's always been, he still is. Now he's in his resurrected body, but his essence as the Word of God is still the same. And so we find that as he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, the throne of God. Today we think of him and all that he's done for us. The fact that he's there making intercession for us, then he's our help each day, today, and tomorrow. And as long as we need him, he'll be there. He'll be the same strength, the same confidence, the same daily bread, the same helper, the same intercessor. All the things that he is to us, and we couldn't even get started in all that he is to us. But he's the same. So that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. And I shall not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, we've passed through the last couple of years, and we've seen regulations and things imposed upon us that we've never seen before in this country. And it's given us a taste of what they could do if they chose to do it. You know, I've seen things in the last 10 years of my life that, or longer, I didn't think I'd ever see in this country. The point is, I'm not trying to get anybody fearful. I'm just saying the Lord is our helper. And if anything, in the last few years, it ought to have made that real clear to us that our confidence, our trust, our help is in the Lord, not in man. It's in the Lord. And the quicker we can cast our confidence on him in our times of trouble, the more we can remember that he's our strength, the more that we can remember that he's our refuge, he's our rock, he's all that we need. And bless your hearts, the better off we'll be, the more peace and contentment and joy will experience, the more we cling to him with purpose of heart. Same yesterday and today and forever. I like that, don't you? As we think about whatever he is, he'll ever be. Ever. Even in glory. Now, you know, let's see, twice and on the day of Pentecost, and also on the day that back on the day that in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus ascended back to heaven, both those chapters touch on the fact that this same Jesus, you know, in Acts chapter 1, it says, this same Jesus which you've seen go away shall come again. He's not going to change. God's not going to send Gabriel this time. He's going to send his son. This same Jesus that they saw go away into heaven shall come again in like manner. Bless your hearts when we think about this same Jesus. But, you know, and I look forward to that day, don't you? But until then, because we don't know when that's going to be. I mean, you know, what if it's another 2,000 years? You know, there was 4,000 before Jesus came. There's been 2,000 since. Maybe there'll be another. I don't know. Nobody knows. No man knows. Okay? Even though there's some on the radio that keeps picking a time every now and then, and folks keep following them. But the same Jesus, which has gone away, will come again in like manner. As we think about that same, we're waiting for that time, but every day we live, he's there for us. You know, John chapter 14, when he was telling his disciples he was going away, said, if I go away, I'll send you another comforter. Well, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But he's talking about in the person of the comforter. The Greek word there is paraclete, which means to come alongside and render aid, or something to that effect. To come alongside and render aid. He said, I will come to you. Now, we don't expect to see him in bodily form, but he comes as the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, all those words are the same root there. So he comes to us and helps us when we need him. Isn't that comforting? The same Jesus. Now when he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. That expression, I'll not leave you comfortless, means he's not going to leave us like orphans. You know, he's not going to leave us in a situation where we don't have somebody to take care of us. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We can boldly say, this same Jesus. You know, even though it's the Comforter, it's the same kind of help. As if he were right here with us in bodily form. Doesn't have to be. When he was performing miracles here upon the earth, sometimes he would go to them. Sometimes he would touch them. Sometimes he would say the word. Sometimes, he had various ways. He wasn't limited to having his bodily presence near them. He had the power to help them. And this same Jesus tonight can help us in whatever we need. Obviously, submitting to his will. But we know that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And this same Jesus, till he comes again, he's our helper. He's our strength. He's our confidence. He's our comforter. He's everything we need. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 7 speaks about how he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's there at the right hand of the Father. He's unchangeable. His counsel is immutable, unchangeable. He cannot change. His perfections, his love, his grace, all of those things are the same. So we think about the power of his blood will never diminish. They'll always satisfy divine justice. Oh, as we think about who he is, what he has done for us, truly, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He said in Revelation chapter 1, I believe it is, he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. It's one of the few things I can think of that you can speak of the Lord in past tense. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. So he's still the same. Revelation 1 and 4, him which is and which was and which is to come. Oh, as we think about our Lord. You know, same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father's counsels, the scripture speaks of him as the Word, but that Word had to be made flesh and dwell among us. Some might look at that as a change, but that's just the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. But he came to do the Father's will. And he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all thou hast given me, I should lose nothing and raise it up again at the last day. So when we think about God's purpose, surely, as far as this time world and as far as him fulfilling what the Father sent him to do, there had to be physical changes in his body, but it didn't change anything about his essence. Didn't change anything about God's purpose. The truth remained, and it was fulfilled. The prophets had spoken, he fulfilled those prophecies to a jot and a tittle. All that was satisfied. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, when he talks about, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, says he also himself likewise took part of the same. So that was necessary for him to take upon him a body of flesh. Okay? But that had been prophesied, hadn't it? Okay? Isaiah 7:14. All right. So he took upon him a body of flesh. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death, not just into death, but through death, he came out of there. Death couldn't hold him. He destroyed that, all right? So he says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay? For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Now, one thing, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I've mentioned his truth a number of times. That truth is the same. But you know, men have a way of twisting that into something else, don't they? For instance, quite often we hear the statement that Jesus died for all men. You've heard that? Well, my short answer to that is that if he died for all men, then all men are saved. Because the power of his blood is effectual. It got the job done. And yet the scriptures teach us plainly that the lake of fire is going to be inhabited. Okay? I know we've got some folks among the Primitive Baptists that don't think that's lake of fire is going to contain people, but the way I read the New Testament, you know, that death and hell, you know, shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? But let's just take that idea that he died for all people. So when we keep reading here, where I was quoting in Hebrews chapter 2, where it says they were, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Okay? Angels are immortal. He took upon him a body of flesh. Since the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. So he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of, if he died for all men, that should have said the seed of Adam. But it doesn't. If he died for all men, then for the scripture to be true, it had to say the seed of Adam. It didn't say that. He took on him the seed of Abraham, the children of promise, the ones that were represented by Isaac, the one that later Paul in Galatians would say, now we then, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. All right? So he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. God's truth spoke the seed of the woman, which would require the virgin birth, as we're later was told in Isaiah 7:14. And then we see the fulfillment of that in Matthew chapter 1. And all of those things, the truth being the same. And no matter how many times we hear men say something contrary to God's word, they don't change the truth. They just twist the word. The truth can't be changed. It's the same. Just like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In all of those scriptures, the things concerning him spoke of one that would come, take upon him a body of flesh, take upon him the promised seed, the promised children, okay, the elect family of God. He came to save them. That's why he said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me. That's the elect family of God. That's the world that he loved. John 3:16. All that thou hast given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. The blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He came to save those that were in him. He saved those that were in him. He's coming back to gather up all that were in him that he saved by his precious blood. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's not coming back to sit on a throne and reign for 1,000 years. We've also got that among some of our people nowadays. He's not coming back to reign for 1,000 years here upon this earth. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever we will praise him for that glorious truth, that he will stand as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that we will praise him for having redeemed us by his blood out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God bless you, is our prayer.